Oh, Jason and Tyler have been training for months for that. So, yeah. All right. Well, yeah. So the McFelps, they were involved in the church plant, and they called and said, "Hey, we're starting to get on our own," and so they asked for a decrease in support. So, you know, churches are happy to give those when you ask for them. So, lots of things going on with our missionaries. Again, keep praying. The ones that are still on deputation, the ones that we are supporting, would be the Steinbarts, which are in the 70s as far as their percentage goes. And then, now I'm going to blank out, the Childs, which are in the 50s as far as their percentage goes. And then Jimmy Pierre, which is in the 70s as well. All right, so just be in prayer for them as they continue. And obviously, be in prayer for our own missionaries that are here this week. They'd like some prayer for support as well. So, as that goes, let's go ahead and go over to Habakkuk. How about that? Habakkuk chapter 3. Don't worry about that. Not tonight. That's tomorrow through Wednesday. Thank you for being ready and being our bodyguards. You're amazing. We couldn't do it without you. They are ready to take an offering. Habakkuk. I started preaching this a couple weeks ago. The sound booth took bets on if I could finish it in one night. Obviously, I failed. And Bobby was the main instigator of that, obviously, because she took Neil's spot up there, so she has to take up his mantle. But I tried to do it in the second night, couldn't do it, so now I'm on the third night. And this morning, when everything was getting switched around, I just kept being burdened with getting involved in some scripture tonight. And I think it'll be very helpful for us to see this in light of events going on around us. You say, what is up with Habakkuk? Well, I titled it Only a Holy God. Why? Because it talks about God's holiness. And in the end of chapter 1, where Habakkuk actually questions, aren't you everlasting? Aren't you the Holy One? You find that in verse 12. But did you see this and what he's struggling with? If you go through it, and I'll just do a refresher from the points that I've covered so far. But here he is, Habakkuk's having this conversation with God in verses 1 through 4 in chapter 1. Habakkuk, he's saying, how long, God, am I going to have to deal with this wickedness, with this sin that's all around me? Have you ever asked that question? How long are we going to see immorality? Are we going to see the lack of supporting life, you know, in the womb? Those who can't care for themselves should be cared for. I truly believe that. Sheila goes along all lines of those who are struggling caring for themselves. How do we care about life? And especially in the midst of what we're going on right now, do we lessen life just because it's difficult? Do we lessen life because things are getting in the way or things are getting uncomfortable? All right. Some of you have probably seen that corn husks are now going on sale on Facebook Marketplace. I don't know if I'm that desperate yet. Just not. But seriously, doesn't this relate to what's going on? Have you asked the question, how long, God, is this going to last in America? And he throws up that question, and he's so grieved by the fact that the law that God has given is slacked. They aren't even upholding the law. And God returns, and in point number 2 says, I've got this. You say, well, I don't see that in the KJV. Well, that's my summarization of verses 5 through 11. He's saying, listen, I've got this. I've already got a provision here where I will be judging Israel. Guess what? It's going to happen. But it wasn't the answer that Habakkuk wanted. And he returns, and he says in point number 3, are you sure? And I'm waiting for your response here, God. I'll be waiting on the walls, on the watch. I'll be waiting, looking forward to what you have on display for you, for what your words are next. Because I just can't seem to correlate this with your character and your holiness and your everlasting. And we are your people. And how could we die? How can we be overcome by this godless nation, these pagans? They don't care about life. They worship what they can do and how they take over. And it's just absolutely horrible. All the things that you're allowed. How can this make sense? 2 + 2 = 4 in this scenario. And he's wrestling with this. And God responds and he says, listen. Those that were arrogantly rising up, who I will rise up, Babylon, guess what? Are going to fall. And he says, the just shall live by faith. You ever heard of that statement? The just shall live by faith. How many questions have I seen across social media just in the last few days of how many questions Christians have posed these questions of how are we going to do this? The shelves are empty. I wonder as you look across in some of the countries that our missionaries are serving in, I wonder how stocked their shelves are. Has anybody complained about the gas prices lately? I got it for $1.89 coming back from Maranatha. Wow. Would you like those gas prices? What are your gas prices in Guyana? Do you know? Do they have?
It can be anywhere from 4 to 10 cents.
4 to 10 cents a gallon? Dollars. Oh. What about Thailand?
$4.
You remember how many times we complained about $4 a gallon? That happened when I graduated high school back during the recession in 2008. What, 2008? Yeah, that's when I graduated high school. Yes. Yeah. Say, what a young child up there. The teens were ridiculing me and calling me old all weekend long. It's horrible. It was elderly abuse, I think, on this Maranatha trip, the suffering that I go through. But I mean, seriously, it went up to $4, and my truck, man, it was costing me all of my wages to fill my truck. It's like, how am I supposed to go to college on this? I wonder, do we really have much to complain about? Do we? I mean, $4 to $10, for crying out loud. We go crazy. We're acting like the world's going to end when the toilet paper is missing on the shelves. I wonder, let's just pose this question. I wonder if more Christians were reflecting on the peace of God across all social media. I wonder if that was to happen. I wonder how many of those around us would start to settle down. I wonder how many people would start seeing the glory of our God when people can remain calm and peace that God's got this. I mean, do you think all of a sudden God doesn't have this just because of coronavirus? And I'm not lessening anything as far as what Pastor said this morning. It's a very real threat. It is something that is difficult. It's contagious. It's these things that we are concerned about, but yet God holds tomorrow. God holds today. Is Grace Baptist going to continue? Well, he says that his church will continue until he takes the church home.
And just in the same as all that he was displaying this morning, and the fact that how many things did the early church have to deal with, and how I wonder how many times they asked, are we going to meet today? Because our deacon just got taken to the arenas. Who's speaking today? Because we can't find the pastor. And just in the sense that we seem to go nuts, but what God says, it's not that the just shall live by sight, the just shall live by faith. How does that reflect in our daily lives? This is James being acted up. You want to grow up? Act like you've got faith. Act it out. Act it out. It's going to be okay. And so when we come into this, and he's seeing what's happening, and God says, I've got this, and he says, are you sure? And then he says, listen, the just is going to live by faith. You come into that last bit, and Habakkuk responds in an amazing fashion. In Habakkuk chapter 3, he responds, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Oh, man. That you can rejoice in the Lord when you know that Israel is going to be decimated by Babylon. Wait, did God promise that you will live through this decimation? Doesn't it put it into perspective? You say, well, Babylon's not coming down on us, but we've got so many things going on around us. And we've got the immorality of the world today, don't we? I mean, it's all around us, but yet there's so much craze and chaos out there. And yet God just responds and says, I've got this. I am sovereign. I am in control. There's the everlasting here. And Habakkuk finally jumps back and his posture totally changes from waiting on the watch to praising our God. So what does he say? You go into verse number 1 of chapter 3. It says, the prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet upon Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. I think that's natural, isn't it? I think there's some concerns that happen when I'm seeing what's going on around us. But it's not necessarily what he's seeing around him. It's seeing his God. I was afraid. What do you mean? He had the fear of God. See, well, what does that come back to? It's not just the fear of the fact that God could decimate him right there if he so chose to do it. It's the fact that he was in awe of who God is, and he's got this. He is deserving of our praise and our awe and our worship. That is our holy God. A God who we cannot be in awe of is not a God who we can worship. A God that is far beyond us, that his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are different than our thoughts. I mean, this is our God, and he has a plan, and it might not be our plan, and this is not how we really want to do things. I mean, I was comfortable with my routine. Weren't you? I mean, kids are going off to school. March Madness. Have you seen those jokes about how men are sitting on their couch and they say, well, there's no March Madness, there's no NBA, and I looked over and there was this woman sitting on my couch and I found out she was my wife. And you know, she's really nice. And when the TV's off, it's black. No, dip. I mean, yeah, that's probably why you married her. She's a nice person. I mean, but yeah, we go crazy. I mean, we go nuts. I mean, we can't handle this. Our shows aren't on. Who's going to get booted off the island? I don't know. They had to stop it. My sports are done. I can't go to McDonald's every single day and gossip about what's going on around me. They shut it down in the dining room. What are we going to do? Oh, my routine's messed up. Wait a minute. God's still on the throne, isn't he? God still has a job for us to do, and that's to rise up and give the gospel like he's still got this. And this is when we can stand back and say, okay, God. And I think the posture changes to where we go to our knees. God, I don't have control over this situation. I like walking into my store and being able to get whatever I want. I like being able to turn on my remote, my TV with my remote, and being able to watch whatever I want. I like for my routine to go the way that I want. I like for everybody to be happy and putting everything nice on Facebook, and I'd rather go to the Trump, Bernie, Biden conversations on Facebook because they're so much better. Not, maybe that wasn't the thing that we were so thankful for, right? But shouldn't we be on our knees? Only a holy God. This is who we serve. So as we come back to this, I'm in total fear, awe. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years make known. I want to see you fresh. I don't want this bland, stale relationship. I want to see you working right in front of our eyes. Do you think this is what God wanted for our nation? To see him more clearly. I'm not one of those guys that's saying, this is the judgment of God. I mean, come on, people. People are suffering. I mean, they're fearful. I just want to tell them that my God still knows what's going on. And yes, it might be for the sake of getting our attention to show that we are not in control of what is going on. Well, let's focus on the very fact that he's still a good God. And we want a fresh sight of his work. In wrath, remember mercy. Have you prayed for that lately? Remember your mercy. I understand that wrath has to happen. I understand that we deserve it. But I'm sure praying for his mercy. God, I know what I deserve. As he moves through this, he reflects back. He says, God came from Teman, the Holy One, from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens and the earth was full of his praise. He said, what is these next few verses reflecting? He's reflecting on history. He's reflecting on what God's already done in taking Israel, the Jewish people, from Egypt to the Promised Land. And he's reflecting back to Mount Sinai and when God showed up and he gives the Ten Commandments and what is it? It says his glory covered the heavens and the earth was full of his praise. And he uses these poetic statements here of a mix of all the things that was going on to get them to deliverance. And he says, and his brightness was as light. He had horns coming out of his hands. It's a strength. It's just the sun's rays. And there was the hiding of his power in the sense of you couldn't experience God in his fullness. Otherwise, you would be consumed with his glory. You would see that Moses would just get a glimpse of the backside of God and he was just lit up. He glowed, literally glowed. Isn't that crazy? But it's just in that sense of God's glory, just massive. Before him went the pestilence, the plagues, and burning coals went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. You know, when you talk about creation and relation to God, it always states that creation honors, fears, bows down, does whatever God wants it to do. So it was created by God. You know, there's a question of why are we the only ones that raise the fist to God and say, I don't want to do that. I am my own God. God, never say that as a Christian. But do we act that way? And when we're coming back into this and just seeing all that it is, he stood and measured the earth, he beheld and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered, and perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. That means the same thing that he did yesterday is the same thing that he can do today, and the same thing that he will do tomorrow. He'll care for his people. And as it goes, it says, I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble, those that were in the midst of it, and they were watching as God did what he did. They trembled. They were in affliction. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea? And that thou didst ride upon thine horses and thy chariots of salvation? Thy bow was made quite naked according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word, Selah. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. Seeing as it goes on, it says, was he angry with the earth? No. But as he goes out and he pulls out his as you picture it, the celestial weapons and does what he wants to make whatever happens that he wants. This is our God. And it goes on and it says, the mountains saw thee and they trembled. The overflowing of water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. In the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. Thou didst march through the land in an indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. Have you ever seen somebody do that? I mean, the threshing. I mean, it's just gone, done. It's a swipe. God just gone. All those in opposition, gone. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation unto the neck. Thou didst strike through with his staves the head of his villages. They came out as a whirlwind to scatter me. The rejoicing was as to devour the poor secretly. Thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses, through the heap of great waters. Are you seeing just a picture of how huge our God is and how he's sweeping through and doing what he wants to judge those he needs to judge based on his character? I mean, this is who our God is. I mean, this is just raising him up to the place where he is supposed to be, where we need to worship him. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. A mighty fortress is our God. Be thou exalted by seraphs and angels. Be thou exalted with harp and with song. There was point to all that music this morning. We got to see our God for who he is. And it goes on in verse 16. When I heard my belly trembled. This is Habakkuk coming back in and he's saying, listen, when I heard what you were saying, my belly trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. I mean, that just makes your gut go in a wrenching twist. I mean, there's things going on around, and it's just like, what's happening here? I'm not in control. It's just, this is messing with me. Has anything messed with you lately? I mean, it hurts, the worry, the concern. Then he turns around and he says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. If everything goes wrong, this is what he's setting it up for. If everything goes wrong, how's he going to respond? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. This is it right here. This is what it all comes down to. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on my stringed instrument. I will rejoice in the Lord. Everything looks horrible. Is that a good mission statement right there? And when things go wrong, I will still rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Well, if you just send the right president for this next election, if you put the right people in, and if you just put in the right people for my school and my kids' school, I mean, they will be just a perfect child, and everything's going to go right. And you put in the right coaches, and you give us the right pastors, and everything's going to go perfect for our church, and the right missionaries, they're going to spread the gospel, and everything's just going to happen. Nothing's going to ever go wrong. Right? I mean, is that what you're hoping, that we hope you guys to be able to just change the world? You're going to do it all by yourself, right? Yes. You're going to do all the work. We'll just send the check. I hope that's not our purpose. I hope we're not just hoping in some superhero to rip off his shirt and have this big old C in the middle of their chest that says, you know, for Christian. I'm here to save the day. I hope we're not. I hope we're not. I just hope that we just see God for who He is and all that He can do with us despite whatever's going on around us, and that we will turn around and say, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. Is that what you're hoping in? Is that what we're presenting? Is that what we're hoping these missionaries go out to their respective countries to be able to present to their people? Is that why we think it's worth it to separate from their families? They don't get to go to family reunions. They don't get to share all the birthdays, right? And separate and go to Thailand, right? I mean, they get to look back and say, that's what I've separated for. Why? Because it was all worth it for the sake of our God and how holy He is, how big He is. And these people need to know they're dying. They're going to hell. They need to hear the gospel. Those same people that are panic buying, who say it's just toilet paper. I mean, for crying out loud, that's their hope? That's what they give their whole entire day's thought to? Is getting some paper off the shelves? I want more out of this life and out of my eternity. And I want them to have more out of this life and their eternity by being able to place their hope, their joy, in the God of their salvation. Does that make sense? Does that help us to be able to see our times, our troubled times all around us, to see our missions conference and why we're doing what we're doing and sending out, to see that, oh man, it could be rough, but in the good times and the bad times, I'm going to rejoice in my God, and I want to help others see that, because they will get so much more out of us as a teenager rises up and loves God in the midst of troubled times, as a middle-ager gets up, rises up, as a child rises up and loves their God and worships their God, as the elderly rises up, the wisest of us all, rises up and serves our God and says, this is okay. It's okay. God's good. God's going to take care of us. This is what we get to present. This is the time. It's at hand. Don't let go of that. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for all that you are, all that you've been. And we can rest on that as we look back. And God, the times are unique. It's different. We need to know how to live. We need to know how to hope. We need to know how to live out our faith. And God, help us always turn back to the Word. Always be in awe of you. Help us to never give up on that truth. God, we truly do love you. Help us to live this out. Lord, thank you that the Chavis and Woodards Bashams got to come and be with us this week. And I'm so looking forward to what's going to happen in the next few days. Just be able to fellowship and see their heart and be able to pray for them and to love them. And God, just help us to be about your business, your mission, to reach the world with what you've taught us, the gospel. We can live by that. We could be the change. We could be the difference. God, we love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.